it's not a mirror to reflect reality. It's a hammer with which we shape it. Yeah, to all my freight diggers, we the shapeshifters. The fire flame spitters, we the shapeshifters. To all my freight bombers, great fitters, might stay trippers, fill them get they weight bigger. We the shapeshifters. To all my freight diggers, we the shapeshifters. To all the plate spinners, we the shapeshifters. To all my freight bombers, great fitters, might stay trippers, fill them get they weight bigger. We the shapeshifters. Man, I hate, but I hate bigots. Especially the ones who make 8 digits. His name in the paid and watches making a steak dinner on the rim of the tears. He wonders why the taste bitter. Caught the iris, heavy eyelids, he can get to wake him in his dream state, cleans place, and his feet are aching. Leans weight side to side, chemicals make his hands feel. Realize he's seeing through her eyes, but he can't feel. Pillow only willow paths, wishing he was middle class. At least cooks a feast, pours a drink, but he can't sip the glass. Mental telepathy, possess him with a recipe to make him feel some empathy. Here's something to set us free. Back in his own bed, sunlight is spilt. Between the window blinds, then decides to write his will. Their lives are intertwined, him and this young lady. Give away his whole fortune, did a 180. To all my crate diggers, we the shapeshifters. The fire flame spitters. We the shapeshifters. To all my freight bombers, freight fitters, might stay trippers, fill them get they weight bigger. We the shapeshifters. To all my freight diggers, we the shapeshifters. To all the plate spinners, we the shapeshifters. To all the freight bombers, freight fitters, might stay trippers, fill them get they weight bigger. We the shapeshifters. A great plague crept into the space age, transmitting hate rate, climate change. My brigade was set to sharpen the laser rays. They put the 88 key, the 808 base. To save the whole homo sapien race, 21 hours, 180 minutes, shorter than 8 days. To prepare for the events about to take place and being with a team in the.
Okay, that track was Shapeshifters by Detroit MC Invincible. Welcome to Known as Illegal Radio on CKLN 88.1 FM. This is Word of Mouth News for Friday, February 5th, 2010. I'm Ryan Hayes, and I'm joined in the studio today with Craig Forche and a special guest.
Today in studio, we will be speaking with Leonardo Zuniga. Leo is an activist in Toronto's queer community and a member of Known as Illegal, and recently won his case for permanent residency in Canada. In hearing about his victory in the fight for status, Leo declared that the struggle for migrant justice remains at the forefront of his work and urged others to continue to fight for status for all. Leo, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for the invite. Here we are today.
All right, Leo, could you start maybe by telling us just a bit about your case, your personal case, and sort of the process you've had to go through in order to win your case for permanent residency?
Well, I came in September of 2004, and I did a refugee claim based on my sexual orientation, based on persecution from Mexico. And then a year afterwards, I got to my immigration hearing, where this immigration official just basically told me that Mexico was not a dangerous country for LGBT people. So he just told me where you were living in Aguascalientes. It's a medium-sized town. Just go to Mexico City because it's a bigger city and you have, you know, like, basically he said you have gay bars on Mexico. So just because of that, pretty much you go back. So people take for granted that the entire country is tolerant for LGBT people, but it's not. Then I did a judicial review at the federal court because, unfortunately, the government haven't implemented or haven't put on place the appeal division, where it's a right, it's your right as a refugee to have an appeal process, but they just don't want to spend the money. That's always the reason or the justification that they say. So then afterwards, the federal court review, where they declined also my appeal, and then I got a pre-removal risk assessment, where the name is telling you pre-removal, is telling you that they will remove you of the country. But before doing that, they will do, you know, like an assessment of you are gonna be killed or not in your home country, pretty much. So then I did that, but then there is, when the support from No One Is Illegal and a few and so many other community organizations in Toronto, we got a stay of removal of my case, so I was not being deported, and I did have the opportunity to apply for humanitarian and compassionate grounds application, where the successful rate is only about 5%. Yeah. So I'm one of those lucky ones who made it through humanitarian and compassionate grounds. So that's what happened last week. After 5 years and a half of waiting, they grant me they approve humanitarian and compassionate grounds application in principle. So now I just need to go through a few paperwork, you know, medical examination. That's just, there's no need for that, you know, but still you need to go through this process. And then eventually, in about a year, I will become permanent resident, officially, finally, after this fight.
So, Leo, you know, as you said, your victory at the Refugee Tribunal was rare, right? And we know that many people still recall the case of Alvaro Orozco and how the Immigration Refugee Board refused him refugee status because he did not, in their words, quote-unquote, look gay enough, right? So can you talk a bit about the experiences, particularly for queer youth and racialized youth in seeking refugee status? Like, it must be a much more difficult process than oftentimes what people are going through.
Totally. Like, this is a remarkable case that about Orozco, you know, like, when you're a young queer person, you know, you are dealing with internalized homophobia, you are dealing with your own personal issues, you know, and struggling with all this. Plus, on top of that, you know, you go to an immigration hearing where it's not easy at all. You know, it's a very traumatic experience, especially if, you know, you are a young person. I think Alvaro back then was about 18 years or something like that. So, and then to be in front of this judge and didn't believe that you just don't look gay enough, is like, based on what grounds? Like, how can someone, just by looking at you, can have that much power to, you know, to dismiss your application and pretty much send you back to wherever you are coming from, right? So basically, it's very unfortunate that there is no nothing in place to really help people who are seeking asylum based on sexual orientation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks, Leo. And maybe I wanted to break off another question, and maybe we could discuss this a bit, but sort of the complexity of dealing with issues of refugees and queer migrants and the risk that involved in upholding Canada as a sort of perfect safe haven for queer people, and at the same time how this might, this image of Canada as tolerant and sort of perfect is sort of used to vilify other places, often in the global south, and countries like Mexico, and even portray them as being backwards and barbaric. So I'm wondering if maybe we could talk a bit about the sort of dynamic where it sort of erases the issues here, as if there's no issues, you know, today for queer people to struggle for here in Toronto or Canada. And at the same time, it sort of says that there aren't people struggling today in Mexico or other countries as well. So I don't know, maybe we could talk a bit about that right now.
Absolutely. You know, and one sample that I will give you is that, for example, people in Toronto take for granted that because we live in Toronto, in a more tolerant society, they think that the entire Canada is tolerant at all. So how can you explain that people from British Columbia, from all the different provinces, come to Toronto, they all come to Toronto, and they, because they are looking for a more open space where they can explore their sexuality and where they can completely be themselves. And for these people, which in Canada, coming to Toronto, you know, they have to go through all this series of, you know, adapting to a new city, adapting to a new life, adapting to other, and it's a challenging situation. So now, how can you imagine that and double or like triple or like in a bigger scale, coming from a totally different country? You know, it's like you just don't have to deal with your identity or with your sexual orientation. You have to deal with issues mainly, for example, with the biggest one, the language barrier. Because lots of people, when we come to Canada, we don't speak a word of English. So it's a very, very hard situation, you know, where you face isolation, depression, and a lot of issues that you have to deal with in order to kind of, you know, start making a living. And then after many years trying to survive, coming from, whatever background you are, then again, the immigration process, because of the lack of understanding or because how the system is completely broken, and especially for LGBT people and minorities and all, like, et cetera, you know, it's like very, very, very complex situation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, even among, like, internal discussions within Known as Illegal, there's always, particularly when we're taking up a case like, you know, your case or Alvaro's case, that you know, we recognize, yes, okay, these are legitimate claims of fear of violence that could be perpetrated against you for your sexual orientation. But at the same time, right, there's a fear that by saying, Leo is unsafe in Mexico, that we erase that history of resistance that Mexico has, particularly in the queer community, for struggling for, a very, sexual freedom in that space, in that country. And I think that's something that is very difficult to negotiate, navigate, especially when we call for status for all, and we talk about, no one is illegal as a movement that defies borders, right? And so I definitely think that it's an interesting question, because at the same time, we don't want to give the appearance to the Canadian government, obviously, exactly what you were saying, that, hey, you're doing just such a fantastic job in terms of your treatment of queer communities here, because, in fact, the struggle here is really valid, and folks like yourself and Alvaro and many members of Known as Illegal really highlight that in the fight for queer rights, that it's not just about, the classic liberal, white, gay, queer issues, but that issues around status and poverty and violence and racism that happen right here in Church and Wellesley are still very valid, right?
Yeah, like completely. And just to recap, like, there is no perfect country in the world. We all know that, right? So if people think that Canada is a paradise for queer people, it's not. And if you are queer and from a minority, is even not at all a paradise for anybody. I'm talking about, for example, like, I love my LGBT community, but when you talk about community, it's like among gays, lesbian, bisexual, transgender people, there is a huge gap in between each of these communities. So we should be talking about LGBT communities, because among ourselves, there is division. Plus, if you are a person of a minority group, you are a person of color, there is also more division. So there is not just one community that exists for the queer people. No, there are people always face different ways of operation or different ways of being marginalized within our own community.
Right. And, I mean, building on that, you have a lot of experience doing community work, and I know a lot of people may be listening to this, they may be struggling to even try and find and be hooked up with services that relate particularly to queer migrant youth, and I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what is available in the city and what kind of services are available.
Well, very, very briefly, between Access Alliance Community Health Center, the Financing Community Center, Chair and Culture Link, they have created a proposal where they created this project called Among Friends. That basically, this group Among Friends are refugees of minorities, and they have come together they have created a plan to approach other different service providers or different organizations to talk about the struggles of LGBT people of color. So this is basically a kind of like train the trainer kind of thing, where they go to different organizations and try to build some sensitivity around the struggles that we all face on this. And for example, another important program is the Supporting Our Youth program from Sherbourne Health Center, where they do have specifically a group called Express for LGBT youth. So people just can Google Supporting Our Youth Express group, and they will have lots of information and a safe space where you can go, and just try to, talk about whatever is going on with you. And there is also the Financing Community Center as well. They have a variety of different programs. So there are a few. Those can be the most, remarkable for specifically queer people.
I think, Leo, you've done a really good job of talking about sort of how it's not just the LGBTQ community, but communities, and people have multiple experiences of oppression. And that's why it's really important for people to talk about migrants, queer migrants and people of color and have, you know, visibility for these struggles, because otherwise they're ignored and people fall through the cracks. And I think, you know, the example you gave of Among Friends or Soy, you know, like those are really good examples of how people are doing that. But maybe we could turn it sort of to the next stage. You know, it's great to have you here. It's great to hear, you know, about your victory. But maybe you could just tell us a bit about what's next for you. You know, it's so great to hear about these victories. But, you know, what's going on next? What can we expect?
Well, basically what's next is just to continue this work. You know, we need to continue fighting for, you know, justice for immigrants. And as we said earlier, you know, there was a victory for Leo, but there are more Leos, you know, that are still waiting from fighting for, you know, having just to be granted permanent residence. And so there is so much work to be done. So I think that's all what I will have to be doing right now. So I'm working right now as a settlement worker, you know, so, and we still need to, you know, educate so many people, create more awareness about the struggles that all these people are facing, and not just talking about a greater Canada, you know. Just, yeah, be thankful because we have all these opportunities, but do not forget about all the people that are still being deported every single day, or that they are living in limbo, mm-hmm. waiting for an immigration decision that will change their life forever.
Mm. So status for Leo, status for all.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm wondering, one of the really important movements that's come out of the queer community over the last while is this sort of coming together of queers against Israeli apartheid. And I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about the importance of having groups like that as part of, say, the Pride March and, you know, and groups like No One Is Illegal participating in those bigger events.
Well, this is a very important work because, unfortunately, you know, like the work that Pride Toronto was doing 30 years ago was fighting for the rights of LGBT communities. But right now, unfortunately, it has become so corporate-oriented that it lost its meaning, has lost the real sense of fighting for rights. Right. So that's why it's important to have this kind of like group like Queers Against Israeli Apartheid to remind all of us that we still fighting and we still here, and there is still a huge way to reach for equality or status for all.
All right. Thanks for being here with us, Leo. You've been listening to No One Is Illegal Radio on CKLN 88.1 FM, Word of Mouth News. So we just want to say thanks to you, Leo, for being here with us. In the studio today was Craig Forche and Ryan Hayes.
No One Is Illegal Toronto is proud to be a part of programming for African Liberation Month. Tune in on Friday, February 26th for a one-hour special where we will profile justice movements in Jane and Finch, as well as the Gary Freeman campaign, and tune in for OCAP Radio coming up next.
All right.
The fires that really devastated this community happened between late 1997 and 1999. In that period of time, they probably had at least 500, 600 fires down here, and I lived through that.
When there was a fire, I would make one call, and it would ring all the way around the community. Is it you? Are you all right? Whatever. And then it would come back to my house. We had one of the most beautiful communities when I moved here that you can imagine.
Condos were out on my old turf. For what it's worth, soul got left in the earth. On a search, I stood in front of Compton where the Hudson builder spoke first and said, I was here. Old bricks all over downtown, the sands with the robe of attachment. Purple gangs to move to your block like a mafia pageant. Move around in my town with spit is talk. And if you leave, forget us and try to come back. I hope you turn into a pillar of salt. Ajax came and crack in the concrete. That's a lost and forgotten piece of the deep. We'll never see in the book of paper a place where the tip casino, strip mall, liquor store, another stadium doubling as a palladium eateries. He speaks to me. I watched yesterday get swept away beneath a pile of debris. Committee's picking from a lottery for the hottest riverfront property. Sign over your D, shocking to see us go from people mover to people mover. Let the people choose a better way. They set up shop and spend away. Landmarks coming through like a John with a pole. Let it straight and they run up on the traffic consumption. So I look back, see my city under construction. I look back, see. see my city under construction. The Jokers.
The wild is suffocating my city in China. Jokers. Ravaging the crops, making the situation. Jokers. But we staying. Jokers. Never let the locusts approach us. Locusts and buzzers circle and hover above the abandoned houses, shattered windows with the crooked shutter. Cross the street, construct a cookie cutter condominium. Line of wood, but it's the prime meridian. You divide the city and in the hood. Wonder why you pay two times the premium. They've been redlining the dark skin. Owners of homes where they loan where the sharks fin. Arson of property, probably for their insurance policy. It's a prophecy that's self-fulfilling. They claim to cure us of poverty, but it's serving removal of residents for urban renewal. The reverend is the realtor here to save and heal ya. They even buy ugly houses and it's memorabilia of a myth of a city that's a mystery. Auto industry's widow on the auction floor. They start to bid low on houses with hanging gutters and peeling shingles. Purchase at a nervous pace in the cadence. I heard a wrecking ball hit a building that's mistaken for vacant. The sleeping city awakened by bulldozers and the wall pulled over.